Joining me now is one half of the Shires. Is it Ben Earl?
Yes.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, how's it going?
It's not Chrissy.
No.
Chrissy's not too well today.
No, as we discussed, as all I've heard about for the last day, how unwell she is. She is really not well. Right. She can't be here.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's great to see you. We've been playing your song quite a lot, I must say, and we all love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lines kind of exploded.
Yeah, it just took off, and we couldn't believe the support we had from everyone. And, you know, remember when you write these songs and you just dream of people really taking it under their wing and loving it. But yeah, the response has just been absolutely incredible. And, you know, the album went top 10, which you couldn't believe as well. And it's just been amazing. It's been a bit of a whirlwind the last year, if I'm totally honest. It's been incredible.
I had a little look at the kind of, you know, the PR stuff you get, and there's the album Brave into the normal charts. But then you've got the kind of the Decca Nashville record label. Mm. I mean, that must be like a gold seal.
Yeah, I mean, the people they've had on there, like Dolly Parton, loads of other people as well. Just, I mean, they are the complete legends of country.
And Holy Grail of country.
Yeah, and right. when they sort of, you know, offered us the deal, we just couldn't really believe it. And, you know, it was really important for us to record our album in Nashville. And we'd never been there before. So the first time we went to write, I mean, we were just like little kids at Disneyland. We were just like, this is unbelievable. And we wrote songs with some really big writers out there. Then we went back 4 weeks later and, you know, recording our album out there, these incredible session musicians. And it's like walking back in time because they do it all live. So, you know, in these incredible studios, and these people just get in a room, they listen to your demo once, they have their, like, their own charting system, like music, and you started playing, and all our songs just came to life. And, you know, and then with Decca behind us, and we were just, like I say, it's been a complete whirlwind, because we couldn't have dreamed it any better than it's been, in a way.
They know what they're doing.
You know what they're doing. yeah, they do. And but they've really let us sort of do it our way as well. I mean, you know, when you sign a deal, you know, there's a lot of promises made, and they're like, yeah, we're going to put you straight in the studio, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And, you know, the cynical side of us was like, oh, but, you know, maybe that won't happen. But it did straight away. I mean, literally 2 months after signing the deal, we were in the studio making the album. And for us, that's what it's all about. You know, we've been doing loads of promo and stuff recently, which is great fun because people, you know, you want to get people to listen to the stuff. And the only way to do that is by getting out there. But at the end of the day, being in the studio and writing and gigging is what we absolutely love. And they've really supported that whole sort of vision.
Process.
Yeah.
We like your music. I've liked playing your songs very much. But what I particularly enjoy, Ben, is the sound of the Shires.
Yeah.
I think you've got a real sound there.
Yeah.
Now, how is that? You've mentioned it there a little bit about the process of Nashville and things. Mm. Is that accidental, or was that something kind of you and Chrissy kind of wanted to find, or was it just happened? Where did the magic come from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got into country music about 3 years ago. And I mean, I was a really frustrated songwriter. And when I heard...
Well, aren't we all darling? Yeah. Don't get me started. Yeah.
But I heard
I've got my catalogue here. I thought you might like to listen to a few.
Yeah, I'm listening afterwards. But yeah, I listened to Lady Antebellum for the first time. And it was a song called Need You Now, which a lot of people would know to hear, I think. And it was everything that I wanted to do musically. And I didn't know that you could do that. And when I heard it, it just completely just changed my life as a songwriter. I mean, I was at the point of giving up. I was just completely done. So then I wrote a few country songs, and then I met Chrissy about a year later. I put a post out on Facebook, and someone introduced us on Facebook, and she was more of a lifelong country fan.
What was your posting?
I said there must be a female country singer around there.
I read it, but I didn't believe it.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true. I mean, we posted it up online, actually, when my album came out, because it's true. We like to joke that it was actually Tinder, but that's not true. yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, country music, great. So we met on there, and she was a, you know, like I said, a lifelong country fan, and she showed me all this country music, and, you know, from that, we're heavily inspired by country, but we never wanted to make an out and out country record because it would only sound pastiche, because we're not from the South. You know, we're heavily inspired by it, but, you know, we have our own spin, and it was really important for us to keep the whole British thing. You know, in a couple of our songs, like Nashville Grey Skies, we sing about all the sort of our love of Britain and our dream of building our own Nashville over in the UK, you know. So I think that's why the sound came out like it did. Definitely,
it's a great story.
Thank you. It's a true one as well.
It reminds me of the Blues Brothers when the light comes through the window.
Yeah.
You know, you go, oh, you know.
Yeah, and it's like that. It really, and, you know, we both, I mean, Chrissy was singing at weddings and functions and
doing
and
Dolly Parton
like
things at
Jupiter. Yeah. Yeah, and someone said to her at a gig, they said, oh, you know, you sounded great singing 9 to 5. You should do that stuff sort of more often. And we just, you know, we had those years of really grafting and, you know, frustration. And, you know, they say it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. And that's what it's felt like for us. You know, when we met each other, suddenly everything just
clicked.
Yeah. And you know, we started writing better songs, we started singing better, and the confidence comes. And, you know, I think that's my one word of advice. I'd say just stick at it, you know, because when you get it right, it's a great feeling. It really is.
So when she answered your post on Facebook and you met, what was a coffee, and you kind of, did you know, was it until you heard her, or did she send you some demos first?
I saw some videos of her on YouTube.
Right.
And actually, it's funny because I've actually found her before someone introduced her, because I just saw her on a site and I thought she just looked like trouble, if I'm totally honest, because her photo was
You're
more
saying that because she's not here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, her photo was more geared towards doing the function stuff, so she was really made up and she just looked like, I just thought I couldn't work with her. And then I saw I literally scanned straight through her. And then we met on Facebook, then we emailed each other, and I sent her some songs and she said, I love this song. And what was incredible was she lived half an hour away. So
in the other shire.
I was in Hertfordshire and she was in Bedfordshire, and you know, she drove around the next day and we sort of went through the songs, and then we did start singing that first day, and it just, you know, worked instantly. And we haven't looked back since, really.
You must have been an excited bunny.
The thing was, I
when
mean
you realize you this is what you've been waiting for all your life, really.
Yeah, completely. And I remember we about a week later we sat on the train and coming back from London, we had a notebook and we wrote down all our goals, and we said, like, we want to meet, like, Bob Harris at the time, because obviously he's like the country guy.
John Leslie.
Yeah. Meet John Leslie as well. I was on there, definitely.
We'll play the single again today.
Yeah. And, you know, we wanted to go top 10 with our album one day, wanted to make it in Nashville. And a lot of those goals were like 10 years time away. And one of them also was to play at the Grand Ole Opry, which is the home of country music in Nashville. And like I said, a lot of them we thought we'd do in 5-10 years, and we sort of achieved most of them in 2 years, you know. And we, you know, we just can't believe again how quickly it's sort of gone, really.
Was it true you'd only done a few gigs and you got spotted really quickly?
Yeah, we did a few local gigs.
Right. Was that per chance, or were you aiming to get signed? Or you, I mean, nobody gets aimed, nobody wants to be, well, everybody wants to be signed, but it hardly happens like that, does it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, nowadays it's quite a confusing time, because I think labels look at how many Twitter followers you have and how much Facebook you've got. But what was interesting about us, we really did it the old-fashioned way. So we got some demos, we wrote some songs firstly, demoed them, and we did a few local gigs. So our first gig was in St Albans at a place called The Horn, which is a tiny venue, and it's like 40 people were there. And then we did about, I think, 3 or 4 more gigs, and then we did one gig at a pub. It was a cider festival. And there were literally, I think, 12 families there with like their buggies and prams and stuff. And we had 6 songs at the time. It's all we had. We had 6 songs and we played them all. And we got to the last song. And then we said, thank you so much for having us. And they went, more, 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 more. And we said, we haven't got any more songs. So they went, play the first one again. So we played the first song. And we finished that. And they said, play the second one again. And we got through the whole 6 songs again. And there was a guy there who knew a guy who knew a guy. And, you know, often people say, I know this guy. And we were like, oh, okay, you know, being polite. He was a bit drunk as well. And he said, I'm going to call him right now. So he called this guy and called someone else. And he used to be the manager of Jamiroquai, apparently. And at the time, he was still a bit sort of, But, you know, we went with it. And then we met up with this other guy sort of 2 weeks later. And he became our manager. And he said to us, he said, I know nothing about country, but I really believe in you guys. And give me a year. I'll get your record deal, hopefully, and see what happens.
Well, the guy who's there with the buggy, or the guy who phoned?
No, the guy who phoned said, yeah, the guy, sorry, there's lots of guys. Yeah, he said, I know nothing about country, but I really believe in you guys, and no one's done it. There's a huge gap in the market, and I believe in it. And we had a deal sort of 6 months later. You know.
I mean, there is a huge gap in the market. Mm. Playing the music we play here, and when you hear your sound, obviously that's a kind of crossover between kind of country, pop, with a bit of rock, I like to say.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm just amazed it's not been there before. Lady Antebellum, yourself, you know, Casey Musgraves. You know, you're on a wave now, I think, and you're at the front of it.
Yeah, totally.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird sort of mantle to be holding.
The waves go between Britain and America.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a bit like the 60s invasion, you know, when sort of the Beatles and Rolling Stones went over there, listened to rock, and then sort of brought their spin on it and took it back to America. And that's what we sort of, you know, wanted to do. I think a lot of people would agree that for a long time, UK country, it was really pastiche and just not very good. I think we were just trying to emulate America, which I think what's exciting now, there's quite a few UK acts coming through who are really trying to put their own spin on it. There's us, there's Ward Thomas as well, who are really good friends with.
Guest List.
Yeah. Great. I love that song. Love that song. Right. They're so funny as well. We did a joint tour with them. And they've got so much energy. They're like Duracell bunnies. They just not stop going. It made me feel really, really old. And then there's a few other bands and artists coming through as well in the UK. So you're right. It's a really exciting time. It's great to be, you know, at the forefront of it, definitely. But, you know, I think just the fact that more people are listening to country and are realising what it is and what it isn't. Because I think a lot of people thought it was all about the Stetsons and, you know, the Cowboys and the Rhinestones and stuff. Mm. Realising it's not that anymore. They're just really incredible pop songs that, you know, are really universal, I think.
So it's like you've got to build a bridge between America and UK country pop.
Mm.
And your influences now are still going to be British.
Yeah.
But you're going to sell it to America.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we've met a lot of Americans when we've been out there, and they love the fact that there are, you know, British people doing it. I always put on my best English accent as well when I'm there at the bar. Yeah, I'd like a beer, please.
The name's Benjamin.
Yeah, it's great. But, you know, it's an incredible place, and I think, you know, Nashville's a real melting pot. There's people from all over the world now there as well, so it's a really exciting place to be.
Well, good luck with the tour.
Thank you.
You're all over the place, aren't you, in October?
Yes.
Up and down the country?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of Scottish dates, though, which is really exciting. We're doing Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Inverness as well, which was very north. We went there yesterday. It didn't sound
enough.
North. It was extremely north. But yeah, you're really excited. We love playing up here, so yeah, it's going to be great.
Have they got you in kilt yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. No. Give it time. So what's after Brave? Have you got the next album written?
We started writing for it, yeah. You know, it's always that difficult second album thing. But, you know, it was really important for us just to keep writing. And so we've been writing on tour. We've just been writing generally. So, yeah, we've got a few songs there. And we'd love to get back in the studio as soon as possible.
Well, we can't wait to hear the results, Ben.
Great, thank you.
Five of your favourite things to finish, if I may.
Yes.
Could I have your favourite place?
Glasgow. No, Oran Mór in Glasgow is my favourite place, the venue. It's an old church.
All right.
It's incredible. We played there, and the first time we played there, the crowd, they sang our song back to us to get us on as an encore. We got a chanty bit, and they went, whoa. They started doing it when we went on stage, and it's caught on ever since, and everyone does it at gigs. And so Glasgow,
that's
every
it.
Time we play there, they're just the noise they make is amazing. So Oran Mór, Glasgow.
Favourite time of your life?
Now.
No, I don't thought so. Give me more.
Yeah.
Favourite person? Obviously not Chrissy today.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, favourite person. So cheesy, but definitely my mum. Honestly, like, without her, I would never be where I am. She gave me so many opportunities growing up, and, you know, she's creative and really encouraged me to be creative, but never really pushed me, which is really great. So, my
mum. Told you never to give up, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Favourite film?
Oh, now we could have an whole interview on this. I love films. The one I'm most excited about would probably be the new Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I've just watched 1 to 6 in preparation
back to
the next one. Yeah, literally like day after day. Yeah, I think that would probably become my favourite film, I think, when I watch it.
Force Awakens?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't wait.
And favourite song, finally, Ben?
There's a song by a country artist called Blake Shelton, which is called Mine Would Be You. And I just love that song. He talks about songs like what's your worst hangover, your best night yet? And it's all these clever things, these clever metaphors and similes. And he just
flips
goes,
it.
You know, Mine Would Be You. That's my favourite thing in the world. So that song's incredible.
We'll dig it out.
Cool.
Good luck with the tour. Good luck with the album.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And I'll see you in the capital.
Definitely.